Thanks for checking out the New Hope Podcast. We believe this message will encourage you and transform you into who God is calling you to be. You are loved. Enjoy.
I called this message Roof Crashers. Everybody say Roof Crashers. I'm excited because by the end of today, we're all going to be roof crashers, right? Listen, I want to tell you this story. There was a woman, she was walking down a busy street, and she fell in a hole, in a large hole. Hoping someone would come quick, she yelled, "Help! Help!" Right? Just like any of us would if we fell in a hole. A doctor comes strolling by, and she's yelling, "Help!" And he just ignores her and keeps walking. A Christian walks by, and the lady's down there, "Help! Help!" And Christian's like, "Oh, I'll pray for you." Hey, we've been like that before. Desperate and alone, she said, without giving up yet, she yells one more time and says, "Help!" Until a third person walks by. It was one of her close friends. And you know what happened next? Her friend jumped in the hole with her. "Why did you jump in the hole with me? Now we're both down here. Who's going to save us now?" She gently looked at her discouraged friend and said, "You're right, but I've fallen in this hole before. I know the way out." Amen? Amen? Wow, that's good. Today, we're talking about friendship. We need each other, church. I was encouraged last night. I was talking to a really good friend of mine who was encouraging me because I was having a bad day. And so today we're gonna talk about this story a little bit, but we're also gonna talk about a biblical story that helps us give us some framework of friendship. Anybody want some framework for friendship? Let's do this. You know, there are three types of people in this story that I just talked about. And you know what? We've all been three of these. We've all been these before. We've ignored situations when we see someone in need. We've said, "Oh, I'll pray for you," right? Or there's a third one where, yes, we've jumped in the hole with that person and we helped them come out because maybe we've been in that same situation before. I know the way out because I've been here before. You know, maybe this morning you've walked into church, into your family here, and said, "I'm in a hole. I'm having a hard time. I'm having a hard week, a month. I'm having a hard year." Maybe you've come in like that. Maybe there's depression. Maybe there's loneliness. Maybe unforgiveness. Maybe there's cancer, sickness of some sort, marital issues. Maybe you're dealing with family issues, financial struggles, divorce. Maybe you're a single parent. Maybe you're addicted to something. But you know what? We've all walked in here today, and maybe there's something where we're stuck and we can't get out, and we're trying our best to get out of this hole, but we just can't do it on our own. Or maybe this morning, you're a friend who you're like, "I've got a friend down here. I'm with them, but I don't know how to get them out." I believe by the end of today, we're going to see some freedom in our life. Does anybody want some freedom? You want some hope? I'm here to preach hope today. So I thought about this awesome story in Mark 2, if you want to open up your Bible there, that really helps us understand friendship a little bit better. And I've named this story Roof Crashers. Everybody say Roof Crashers again. Let's look at this story. I know a lot of you have heard this story before, but let's look at it again. The first five verses in Mark 2. Look what it says here. Mark 2, verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your word. I pray you speak to us today. Let us understand. Give us your wisdom. Help me to speak the words you have to speak. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Listen, we had a really nice flag earlier. Now, I put this on Facebook. All of you had a chance to put your team up here today, okay? So, listen, here we go. Here we go. There we go. All right, listen. Who's it? Come on, if this is your team, let's hear you. All right. Okay. So, we got a mat today, and mats aren't always clean, so mats don't always look good either. So, but I need some helpers today. So, all right. Come on, Max. Everybody welcome Max to the stage. Come on up, buddy. We're going to tell this story a little bit. Here, you lay down on your mat, okay? You know, Max, this paralyzed man, is that money? Where? Nope, not money. That'd be pretty awesome. Max, squirrel. He fits okay. So Max is going to play the paralyzed guy today, all right? So you've got Max here, and back in the culture of 2,000 years ago, paralyzed people were, when they were born, they were either killed, okay, I'm just being real, because no one wanted to bother with them. They'd have to sit on the street corner and beg for money. But you know what's amazing about this man that was lying on the mat is that he had some friends. Now, let's have one friend. Can I get a friend? All right, yeah, come on. We got a friend. Come on. Come on. All right, so we got a friend. Come on over. Can you pick this mat up for me? Can you pick him up? You got one corner. No, you got, yeah, there you go. Can you pick him up by doing one corner? Pick Max up for us today. All right, let's start over. Good. You stay here. You're one of our friends. You're one of our four here. All right, so we need another friend because that didn't work. All right, come on up, Tim. All right, we got another friend. Tim, you're going to be over on this side. Man, you're dressed up today. Come on, let's give it up for Tim. Come on over on this side. Now, you and Joyce are going to try to pick him up. No. You only get a corner. Okay, this is your corner. So let's pick him up. Let's get him.
I don't think that worked.
There's something wrong with the blanket, I think. It's the team. But that's okay. Let's try. I need another friend to come up, a couple friends. All right, come on, Nathan. All right, come on up, Sarah. All right, come on up. And then, so we're going to have some other friends here. Come on, let's give them two a hand here. So, here, trade corners with this dude. And then you, Tim, you come on up front. All right, so can you guys, you ready, Max?
I'm ready.
You guys ready? Come on, let's help him out. Yeah! Do not drop him. We don't have insurance for that kind of stuff. So now you're going to take him over, and you're going that way now a little bit. So, because Jesus is over here. And, okay, pause there. So then they get to the house, and you know what? They put him down easy, easy, easy. And Tim comes, and he starts looking in the windows because the house is full. So you're looking in the windows, and the house is full. Because guess what? Jesus is there. Everybody wants to get to Jesus. So they're like, okay. Nathan runs up on the roof, and him and Tim start digging a hole in the roof. All right, so I don't know how that's going to work, but you're going to dig a hole in the roof. And now they're going to lower Max, their paralyzed friend. They're going to lower him down. So I know he's already on the ground, but just pretend for me. You bring him down here. Can you guys go down? So now we're going to come down through the roof. Because we're roof crashers, and we're going to do what we can do to bring this man to Jesus. Amen. Come on, give him a big hand today. Good job, Max. You are healed, right? Because you know what's awesome? Pause here for a second. You know what's amazing about this is right away in verse 5, guess what happens? Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Now, Max, he's there, he's paralyzed, he can't walk. He hasn't been able to walk from the day he was born. But you notice that the first thing that Jesus cares about is our salvation. You'll see later in the story that he gets healed and he gets to run home really excited because he's healed. There you go. Give him a big hand. Thank you, sir. You just put it over there. So we've got this amazing story of some friends who are desperately taking this man to Jesus. So we're going to look at a couple things today. Despite our attempts to put our best self out there, okay? Because we show up at church, we get dressed up nice, we do all of that, we wash our face, we shave if you're a guy, we put makeup on if we're a lady, and we show up and we kind of put our best self there, right? I saw that, Raymond. But despite our attempts to put our best selves out there, we all have two things in common. All right, two things. Number one, write this down in your bulletin. Well, actually, you probably can't today. It's full. Get your phone. Get something. Write this down. We all have two things in common. Number one, we all have a mat. Now, I'm not talking about a guy named Matthew. I'm talking about a mat. We all have a mat. The mat is a picture of our brokenness and our imperfection. Okay, obviously in this situation, there was a man on a mat. That's where he lived most of the time. People had to take him from place to place. There was no wheelchairs, right? They had to take him from place to place lying on his mat. But in our walk, all of us at some time or even now are on a mat. The mat is a picture of our brokenness and imperfection. Face it. Listen, we aren't perfect. Is anybody perfect here? I know one person's going to put up, the middle schooler's going to put up their hand and say, I'm perfect. No. None of us are perfect. We have major issues sometimes. We have imperfections. We have addiction. We have tempers. We get angry with things. We fail. We have unforgiveness. We judge other people, right? We have those things. We have those things. We have a mat. Maybe you're thinking about your mat right now and you can kind of label that. But by the end of today, God wants to just say, scratch out that label. I'm your hope. And I'm going to take that mat and I've got some friends for you and they're going to carry you to me. Amen. Amen. So we are all paralyzed. I'm not talking physically. We're all paralyzed in some form or fashion. Look at the definition. If you look up the definition of paralyzed, it says to make powerless or ineffective. You know what? There's areas of our life that we are powerless and ineffective in. Because you know what? We're trying to do it all on our own. We're trying to do it all by ourselves. And we stay in the darkness. We try to stay in. It's like, oh, I got this. I'm in the hole, but no one needs to help me out. I've got this thing. I can take care of myself. I'm good. I don't want to bother anybody. I don't want to tell anybody. I don't want to be embarrassed. I've got my mat. I'm okay. But you know what? We're never going to move from the place where we're sitting on that mat unless we have some help. I know that maybe you grew up in a generation, it's like, I don't need any help. We need help. We need our friends to gather around us and pick us up, take us out of the hole, and walk us and to be a desperate people to get to Jesus. Amen? Look what Galatians 6:2 says. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. You know, Christ followers, we are to carry each other's burdens. Wouldn't that have been a burden? Imagine this. These guys, who knows how far they traveled to get their friend, the paralyzed man, to Jesus. They didn't just stop there. Don't you love their desperation? I believe we're living in the end times and we need to be desperate people. And not just desperate for our relationship with Jesus, but we need to take people with us. Amen? We need to show what's on our mat to our friends. We need to be transparent. You know, a lot of times, like I said earlier, we show up with a mask on, right? Hey, I'm happy. And then you do the smile and it goes, ding, right? And we got this mask on. I think there's no greater moment in the history of the church. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the church than right now. People are being more transparent. They're saying, hey, I'm struggling with this. I've got this problem. You know, I had a friend called me about 2 or 3 months ago. He said, hey, can you be my accountability partner? I'm addicted to pornography. That's embarrassing, isn't it? No one wants to talk about that kind of stuff. But I believe church is the place we can talk about anything. Amen? That we should talk about anything because God wants to give us freedom from all of those things. We need to be transparent. Take off the mask. How can we show what's on our mat if we don't ever take off that mask? How can we be lifted out of the hole if we don't ever yell for help? Right? If we're down in that pit, how are we ever going to get out of there? I'm sure you can think back of times where you were in the pit and you just said, I wish that someone was here with me that's gone through this before. You know what? There's people like that sitting to the left or the right of you in this room right now. They're in the pit and they need someone to get down in there with them. And sometimes it's messy. Sometimes it looks like that blanket, really messy because of the gator colors, right? Sometimes it's messy. How can we be lifted out of the hole? It's all about the vulnerability. It's all about that vulnerability. I lost my spot. Sorry. Technology, right? Here we go. It is a very vulnerable thing to have someone carry your mat, though, isn't it? Do you think the guy on the mat was happy that he had to be walked around on that thing every day? That he had to sit there? It's kind of like the guy in Acts, right? In the book of Acts, where he had to sit and beg because he was paralyzed. He had to beg for money. Imagine, it's embarrassing. It'd be embarrassing. When somebody's carrying your mat, they see you in your weakness. They see you in your weakness. They might hurt you if they drop you, right? So you got to be careful who's carrying your mat. You got to be careful who you're telling what your mat is. Does that make sense? Because you may have people in your life who they want to know, like, oh, well, it's his problem. I want to tell the whole world. You need to find some people who can carry your mat that you trust and who are godly. Want freedom? Show your mat. Want healing? Show your mat. You know what it says in Ephesians 5:13? It says, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it says, wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Bring what is in darkness into the light. Be vulnerable. What's on your mat? We all have one. Who is helping carry that? So number one, we all have a mat. Number two, despite our attempts to put our best selves out there, we all have two things, a mat, and number two, we all need roof crashers in our life. Don't we all need friends? Right? Why can't we be friends? Am I as good as David? No, probably not. No. Better. Friends with a crazy commitment to other people. We need people in our life who will come alongside of us. The picture of four guys carrying their paralyzed friends to Jesus is a beautiful picture of the love that Jesus is talking about in Luke, where he says, hey, they come up and say, hey, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And number two, love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't this an amazing picture of that second commandment, is to love your neighbor? How can we be a loving neighbor if we're like the doctor in the story I told earlier and we just walk by and ignore? We've all been there before. I don't want to deal with that. I'm going to ignore that. I don't even like that person. They have a bad attitude. You know what? The second one that comes by is a Christian. A lot of us Christians do this. Oh, I'll pray for you. Come on, how many times, let's be honest with ourselves, how many times have we said, I'll pray for you? A lot of times. How many times did we not pray for the person? A lot of times. You know what I started doing, because I was into that really bad habit about 4 or 5 years ago? When I would pray for the person right then and there. Amen? I'm not saying I'm perfect, but that's what God spoke to me. He said, instead of saying, I'll pray for you, just pray for them. You know, a couple years ago, I got to pray for a lady that I got to meet at a place called Ace Hardware. Anybody ever been to Ace? Man, their best employee goes to our church. Elvia. She doesn't work there. She has a baby now. But you know what? When I was in there one day, she didn't come to our church or anything, but she was having one of her kids was sick. I said, well, why don't we just pray right now? Why don't we pray right now? Are you okay with that? We prayed right there in the middle of Ace Hardware. And that's okay. Right? Because we need to be friends. We need to pray for each other. We need to be good neighbors. The friends of the paralyzed guy, listen, what does it say in there? It said in the scripture that they had strong faith. Everybody say strong faith. You need to get people around you that are faithful and they've got some strength in the faith world. Amen? You need to get some people around you who can call you up and say, hey, I got faith. Let's pray right now over the phone. I believe that God's going to bring you out of this pit. I believe that God's going to get you out of the hole. I believe that your depression's going to go. Come on, are you preaching with me? I believe that God's going to heal your body. I believe that your kid who's far away from Jesus is going to come back on Easter Sunday. I'm praying right now. We need to have people around us with strong faith. Amen. Strong faith. Don't just find any friend. Find friends with strong faith. I want to pause there just for a second. I got thinking about this last night when I was looking over my notes. I'm in the habit every Saturday night after Emma goes to bed, I just sit for about 3 hours and pray and look over my notes. I've done it probably for the last 3 years. Every Saturday night, if you come over to my house, I'll be at the table looking at my notes, making sure that this is what God wants to speak. Once in a good while, God will say, nope, you're doing something different. I'm like, all right. And those nights are a little bit longer. Those are like 3 a.m. nights. But last night from about 9 to 12, I was looking at the notes, and something came to mind. I'm like, you know what? We all want to be friends. We all want friends. We all want good friends, right? I don't think there's one person in this room will say, I don't want a friend. A lot of you first started going to church just because you wanted to be around some good people, right? We need friends. But you know what? I can't, and you can't, we can't be friends to every single person. Look what it, I looked at this study last night. It says, talks about kind of our culture and our busy culture. This seems to be a consistent pattern with friendships. And it kind of goes in the factors of three. So, a lot of times we have five intimate friends. Would you just take a minute And maybe just write that down. You don't have to write all those people on a list right now, but maybe when you go home today, is write down on a list. It's like, hey, these are my five. These are the four corners. These are the people on the four corners of this blanket they're the ones who are going to take me to Jesus when I really need it. So we have five intimate friends, 15 good friends, 50 close friends. So remember, they're multiples of three, 150 friends. So if you look on my Facebook, for some reason, I have like 1,800 friends. I don't know all those people. Like, who is this? So really, it kind of helps you understand some focus there. And then you have 500 acquaintances, 1,500 people that you could probably say their name and put their name to their face, like maybe from high school or from work, or you see them at Walmart, you know, with their name tag, right? I can barely remember my daughter's name. No, I'm bad with names. You've probably noticed that. Sometimes it's hard for my personality to understand that I can't be everybody's friend. Like, I want to be everybody's friend. I want to disciple everybody. But you know what? It takes a church, doesn't it? It takes all of us. Imagine if you have five friends that you're investing in. If you had five friends you're investing in. If you had five friends. That's really what small groups are meant for. We don't have very many small groups right now, but the ones we do are awesome. I talked to Shannon the other day. He does one. What time is yours? 5:30 a.m. on Wednesday morning. And there's five guys who get together and open up the Word and pray together. That's a small group. That's amazing. You know, I talked to someone, Laura. She gave her testimony a few weeks ago. She does one on Tuesday night. She's like, there's like seven or eight ladies. They just get together and we pray. You know, I do mine. I call Thursday morning my small group. We pray together at 5:45. And it's awesome. It's a good group. But God wants us to have people in our life consistently where they're helping us, they're taking up our mat, they're seeing what's on the mat and leading us to Jesus. You know, we can lead each other. Right? Why can't we be friends? So they got to the house and it was full, looked into the windows, the place was full. They had to carry him up on the roof and dig through the roof. Imagine the homeowner. Imagine if it was a homeowner association, right? The roof had to be a certain color. Now they're like traipsing across the grass. Anybody ever live in one of those communities? Your house has to be these three shades of burgundy in order to live here. If not, you're getting a fine. Come on, we live in America. But they had to go up there. They dug a hole in some guy's roof. And then Jesus is directly down here. And Jesus looks up. He's like, what's going on? I don't think that Jesus was surprised very much, but I think that day, those guys surprised Jesus with their faith. And you know what he says is because your strong faith, and then the second part of what he says is not just your strong faith, it was your determination that this paralyzed man's sins are forgiven. So they lower him down into the house, and he's laying there in the middle of this packed house full of stinky people. There was no air conditioners. Who knows what kind of food they were eating? None of them had deodorant. And I'm just trying to give you a clear picture, okay? This was not at New Hope Church. There was no breath mints in the bathrooms. There was no Roly brushes. Come on, isn't that awesome? We have a church that has a Roly, what do they call those? Lint brush, and I call it a Roly brush because that's what it does. There was no Roly brushes in the bathroom at that house. They didn't have a bathroom at that house. They lower him down, says, and Jesus was surprised by their faith. We need to be like those guys, right? Come on, New Hope, we need to be like them. Well, I was looking over this whole message this week, and I'm going to kind of conclude with this if Tara's here. If not, someone can grab her to come in and play. But I was looking at this, knowing we all share those two things. We all have a mat. We all need roof crashers. Knowing that, it leads us to two important questions we want to ask ourselves. You know what? I'm preaching to myself today. I am not perfect. I don't text people back sometimes. Sometimes I'm not a good friend. Sometimes I'm like that doctor who ignored. Sometimes I'm like that person who said, I'll pray for you. Sometimes I am the friend that jumps in the pit and says, hey, I've been there before. I'll help you out. But I want to ask you these couple questions today as we close. Are we willing to take our relationships to the level of transparency required to bring our mats into full view? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to get with a friend and say, hey, listen, I'm struggling with this. This is what my mat looks like. Because really, at the end of the day, it's up to what you are going to do. No one's going to make you be a friend, right? No one's going to make you do anything. It's between you and the Lord. Second question, and are we willing to be the kind of friends who will drop everything, pick up our friend's mat, and crash a roof to get them to Jesus? Listen, I'm not saying being a roof crasher is some easy thing. It's hard work. It's messy sometimes. Right? It's work. Maybe we gotta stay up late and talk to somebody. Maybe we gotta miss something important that we wanted to do. But I believe when we are those roof crashers, what's amazing? This story, these men are not listed in the Bible that brought their friend, but you know what? They're there. Their story will be told forever because of their strong faith. I want to be like them. I want to be a believer with strong faith and determination to get down there in the pit and pull our friends up and to be a roof crasher. How do we apply this to our life? How do we do it? To do either of these, we must first slow our life down a little bit and look up and look around. Say, hey, who are the friends in my life? Who are my roof crashers? Who am I going to be a roof crasher for? Maybe you pick one person and say, I want to help this person out. Maybe write that person's name down right now. Could we do that? Could you pick one person right now and say, this person has been on my heart. This person's been on my mind. I want to be their roof crasher. I believe I can get down there with them and help them out. Imagine what kind of place frostproof would be if there was 200 roof crashers. Imagine. Imagine. Imagine what God could do. So I want to challenge you with two things before you go. Number one, pray for roof crashers to come into your life. We need them. We need friends. We need a small group of people. Sunday morning at church is amazing, but we're not interacting right now. We're not able to tell each other our story right now. Get with people. Go to lunch today after church. Get with some people. Pray. Number two, be a roof crasher for someone. You know, people need you more than you think they do. You know that people are dying to have friendship. People are dying to have relationship. You know that? I remember when my dad was here, when I first moved to Frostproof, my dad came and visited, and he loves like just checking things out. We were just walking around downtown Frostproof. We went through it in, 3 minutes because it's huge, right? But we met a gentleman that I knew at the time, and he knew who I was. And my dad's like the evangelist type of guy. Hey, you should come to church. You need to come and hear Pastor Landon preach. You need to come out to church. And this is when we were in the building downtown. And the guy said, I don't need church. And I can remember to this day what my dad said back to him. He wasn't rude. He wasn't arrogant or anything. So he said, what if the people in that church need you? And you know what? The guy was speechless. He's like, I never thought about that before. He never came to church. That's okay. But it really made me think, we're in need, but just imagine there's a lot of other people in need that need a roof crasher in their life. At the end of the story, look what happens. I want to read this. And if you want, let's stand for this part and we'll close. Here's how the story actually, I'm going to say this is the beginning of the paralyzed man's story. This is the start. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, this is verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? You're going to have people that don't like what God's doing in your life. You're going to have people questioning you. He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sin but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts and said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralyzed man? Now, I just think that, I know Jesus isn't a show-off, but I think he's going to start showing off something here. He's like, oh, wait a second, I forgave his sin. Now, these guys are going to be talking. Now, these guys are going to be muttering. They don't want to know what's going to happen next. Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or say, get up. Take your mat and walk. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all, with everybody's jaws on the floor. Because he came in paralyzed, he walked out with his mat in his hand, and I believe that this morning Jesus wants to do that for you too. I believe Jesus wants to do that for you too. I don't know why we're not excited. I believe he's saying, your sins are forgiven already. Let's get freedom for everything else. Amen? Let's get freedom for your depression, for your marital issues, for your financial problems, for the addiction that you're part of. Because he is our hope. Because he's saying today, get up, take your mat, and go home. If that's you today, can we close our eyes for a moment? If that's you today and you say, Pastor Landon, I'm one of those people in the pit. I'm one of those people, I'm dealing with something right now. I'm going to ask you to do something that you might not want to do. And this is just saying, I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable today. I'm asking you, step out of your seat and come up around this stage and say, that's me. I'm getting up. I'm getting out of my seat. I'm getting out of my comfort zone. And I'm going to take my mat and walk. If that's you, come right now. I'm expecting lots of people to come today because God wants to do something today. While you're coming, Verse 12 says, he got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. We've never seen anything like this. You know what? Frostproof is going to start saying, I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen anything like this before. Because I'm seeing these people who are roof crashers, who are picking up their friend's mat and saying, I'm going to help you get closer to Jesus. I'm going to get down in the pit with you, and I'm going to help you out. Amen? Amen? Let's pray together. Those of you down here, grab each other's hands if you can, if you want to. You don't have to. Lord, I just pray right now. Pray for all these folks up here, Lord. I thank you for their vulnerability today. I pray for whatever hole, whatever pit they feel like they're in. One, you would bring people alongside them that've been there before. They will pull them out. Number two, Lord, heal them. Just like you did the paralyzed man, heal them, Lord. Help them have strong faith friends that come around them who are determined. In Jesus' name. Amen.